Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Whatever was haunting this house seemed to really hate the family that lived there. It stalked them, attacked them. There's a normal family home in England, 30 East Drive, Pontefract. A house where bruises and scratches appeared on children. Where a dark hooded entity tormented a family, appearing over their beds at night, watching from the shadows. The haunting is believed to be centered around the ghost of a 16th century monk who was executed for heinous crimes against young children. The entity that haunts this home is believed to be demonic. The paranormal activity came in waves, and even more terrifying, seemed to become more vicious and physical over time. In decades after the families fled in terror, paranormal investigators captured this photograph inside the house. A photo that appears to show a ghostly monk staring out from a mirror. If that image is real, then whatever was haunting this house never left. This episode, we're diving into the true story of the Black Monk of Pontefract, one of the most violent and controversial hauntings in British history. This is Avery After Dark, and I'm your host, Avery Ross, and I'm so glad you're here. So dim the lights, grab your snacks and a blanket. This is the haunting of 30 East Drive. Our story takes place in this modest, semi-detached council house in Pontefract, West Yorkshire. A quiet, normal-looking house, the kind of place you would walk past 100 times without giving it a second thought. But what transpired inside this house is nothing short of a nightmare. By the late 1960s, it earned the reputation as the most haunted house in Britain. The story begins in August 1966, when the Pritchard family moved into the house. Jean and Joe Pritchard were looking for a fresh start. With them came their children, 15-year-old Philip and 12-year-old Diane. And almost immediately, something felt off in the house. Wrong. It was a newer build, so the house shouldn't have a creepy, heavy feeling. Yet it did. The Pritchards began to hear strange things. Voices coming from empty rooms. Loud thuds and bangs would echo down the hallways. The family would search and search to find the source, but they never could. Not long after moving in, Philip was at the house with his grandmother when they experienced something truly unexplainable. Joe, Jean, and Diane were out of town, so it was just them at the house. One afternoon, Philip walked into the family room and his jaw dropped. His grandma sat knitting in a chair, unaware of what was going on behind her. Philip watched as a fine, white, chalky dust began to fall in the room. Powdery. But it wasn't drifting down from the ceiling. It was falling from below head height, as though it was forming in midair. There was no source to this. It wasn't coming from the ceiling. There was no broken plaster. No explanation. This vapory, air-like substance was something Philip had never seen before. Then they began to hear strange sounds coming from upstairs, from above their heads. Movement, thuds, bangs. It sounded like someone was moving around up there, but the house was empty, or was supposed to be. They ran into the kitchen to find pools of water with no source all over the floor. This sends them running out of the house. They took off to stay with family close by, telling them what happened at the house. They decided they needed to phone police immediately. Maybe there was some kind of intruder. So authorities arrive 230 East Drive and do a search of the entire house, and there is no signs of any intruder, forced entry, nothing. Except they did find one strange thing. Glass shattered all over the floor. A wedding photo of Joe and Jean that was hanging on the wall had been slashed from side to side. It was not as though it had fallen on its own. It was like someone had taken it and slashed it. This would later be remembered as the first incident, the opening note in a long, violent series of disturbances that would plague the family for years. When Joe and Jean got back from their trip and were told what happened, they quickly dismissed it. At first, the activity was so subtle it was easy to dismiss. But Philip knew what he saw. This was not normal. But Joe and Jean say, "This is a brand new house. There's nothing wrong with it." But then everyone began to notice these odd things. Lights flickered without reason. Small items went missing, only to turn up somewhere they couldn't possibly have been. A packet of biscuits vanished from the kitchen, later discovered sealed inside a locked cupboard in the living room. In those pools of water, they call the water company who comes to 30 East Drive to check this out. They tell them, "We have no idea what's going on, but we're finding pools of water all over the house." Unsettling, yes, but not terrifying. But the water company, they had no idea. They tell the family, "Everything looks fine. We can't explain where these puddles are coming from. There are no leaks. There is no problem." But this continued on. And as weeks passed, the activity got bolder, more physical and aggressive. Furniture began moving on its own. In Diane's bedroom, a heavy oak wardrobe, far too large for a child to shift, was found completely overturned. In the kitchen, plates flew from shelves and shattered against walls. Then it got worse as things were thrown at family members. Objects were hurled across the room with an alarming force. One afternoon, Jean is alone in the kitchen, preparing a meal for her family, when a kitchen drawer slowly slid open by itself. A knife lifted into the air and shot across the room, missing Jean by inches. I don't know how you dismiss that. This house is trying to kill this family. Electrical problems became constant. Lights snapped on and off without warning. Appliances failed repeatedly. Even the main circuit breaker, locked inside a cupboard, would shut itself down, forcing Joe to reset it again and again. And then we have the grandfather clock. A prized possession, solid, heavy, positioned on the landing. One evening, as a visiting vicar was leaving the house, the clock suddenly toppled forward, falling down the stairs and smashing apart near the front door. Then the family began to see it, the entity in the home. Dark, cloaked. In a hood, it would appear at all hours of the day and night. Family members would wake up in the middle of the night to find this entity standing over their beds, watching in the corner of the room. It was always around. Jean, trying to keep some sense of control, gave it a name, Fred. Other times they would call it Mr. Nobody. A joke, probably, to try to make it feel smaller, but it was really terrifying.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The Pritchards consulted with their church, and they were advised to sing hymns in their home. Fill the house with prayer and worship. On one occasion, as they all stood together, praying, their voices getting louder, a pair of gloves on a nearby table began to move, like there were hands inside of them, slowly. They lifted into the air and started conducting music, as if someone was guiding them. There is some crazy weird stuff that went down in this house. It is almost unbelievable. The next day, a family friend, Mrs. Scholes, used fire tongs to carry the gloves back into the garden. Wanting to get rid of whatever was attached to these gloves, they soaked them in paraffin and burned them. But by then, it didn't do any good because the entity had chosen a target. Diane. The couple's teenage daughter, the youngest member of the family, became the primary target. And this is quite common. We've covered so many different hauntings, and most of the time, the entity in the home will focus its attention and energy onto a teenage girl. She was slapped while lying in bed, dragged by her hair. She would feel yanked from her sleep by unseen hands. And one terrifying evening, teenage Diane was dragged up the stairs by her hair, screaming as her family rushed helplessly towards her, saying it felt like something was grabbing her tightly around her throat. How awful is that? Afterward, bruises appeared on her body, finger-shaped marks around her neck as though she had been assaulted by something no one could see. Diane was examined by doctors. Witnesses saw this. Diane was terrified. Whatever was in the house seemed to really enjoy her fear. Feed off of it. Many wonder, including myself, why would you stay? Why? Why would any sane person choose to stay in this house where their child is being tormented? Well, house proud Jean refused to be forced out by a ghost. That just wasn't an option for her, apparently. She didn't want to run or move, and this went on for years. And as time went on, this haunting was covered extensively in local papers, so much so that everyone in the town knew about it. People would walk past the house trying to get a look inside. And eventually, investigators began digging into the area's past. Historical research revealed the house stood near the site of a medieval gallows. According to local legend, a 16th century monk had been executed there, hanged for heinous crimes against children. Paranormal investigator Tom Kuniff proposed that the spirit of this monk was responsible for the haunting. Witnesses described this entity as being dark, cloaked, looking like a monk. So, put two and two together, This theory disturbed many, especially given the entity's fixation on Diane, who was roughly the same age as the monk's alleged victim. There was no definitive historical proof tying the monk directly to that house in the land. But for those living through this violence, the connection felt chillingly plausible. But this connection wasn't made until years later, after the family had been living with this entity for quite a while. When people talk about this haunting, they often think of the Pritchard family, Joe, Jean, Diane, and Philip. The chaos of the 1960s, the terror, the violence. But there's one detail that often gets left out of this story, and it makes it even more bizarre. Once you hear this, the entire case becomes even stranger, because the Pritchards were not the first family to live at 30 East Drive and experience paranormal activity. Years earlier, before the house had the reputation, before the headlines, before anyone whispered the words ghost or poltergeist or black monk, another family lived there, and they didn't stay long. September 1954, Bill and Barbara Ferrer moved into 30 East Drive, a fresh build in the historic town of Pontefract. It was clean, modern, quiet, the kind of place young families were encouraged to settle down and grow. The couple had a 2-year-old daughter named Jane, a 3-bedroom house. It should have been perfect. But within months, the Ferrers began to notice things they couldn't explain. At first, it was the sounds, voices, low conversations drifting through the house, coming from rooms no one was in. They would pause mid-sentence, trying to hear, trying to work out who was speaking and what they were saying. They'd follow the sound, only to find the rooms empty. Then came the damage. Their furniture was ripped and torn, upholstery shredded, as though clawed or pulled apart by force or by knife. The family had no cats, no dogs, no explanation for this. And then, one night, they heard Jane crying. Panicked, distressed, they ran into her room and froze. Jane's little face was covered in scratches, thin marks, red lines, fresh. Barbara and Bill searched the room in disbelief. There were no sharp objects, no toys that could do that kind of damage. Jane slept alone in her cot. They didn't own a cat, dog, nothing. Terrified, they tried to protect her the only way they could think of. They put little mittens on her hands before bed, but the scratches kept appearing night after night. Jane cried, and still no one could explain how this was happening. Then came the moment that changed everything. One day, Barbara rushed into Jane's room and found a pillow placed over her daughter's face. Not fallen, placed. And that was it. The couple didn't argue, they didn't investigate, they didn't wait for answers, they packed up and left 30 East Drive. Whatever was in that house, they were certain of one thing. It was targeting their child.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And they were not going to stay long enough to find out why. Now here's where the story takes a deeply unsettling turn. After leaving, the Ferrers spoke with friends and neighbors, one family in particular, the Pritchard family, and agreement was made. The families would switch houses. The Ferrers would move into the Pritchards' smaller house, and the Pritchards would move into 30 East Drive. The Pritchards jumped at the opportunity. They had two teenagers, this was a bigger house, a better opportunity. But what the Ferrers didn't do was warn them. They didn't tell them about anything. They didn't mention the voices, they didn't mention the scratches, they didn't mention any of it. Nothing. Even after the Pritchards had been living in this violence and chaos, flying furniture, an entity that seemed obsessed with their daughter, Jean and Joe went to the Ferrers and asked them, point blank, did you experience anything strange in the house? Anything out of the ordinary? Anything unexplainable? And what was the Ferrers' answer? No. They said, no, we didn't experience anything. Some friends. I mean, geez. And this part of the story is, to me, one of the most disturbing parts of the entire case. Because how could you do that to your friends? It means one of two things. Either the Ferrers just couldn't explain what happened to them, they couldn't face it, or they knew exactly what the house was capable of and chose to stay silent. They handed 30 East Drive to another family with children. And shortly after the Pritchards moved in during summer 1966, the house didn't wait long. The chalky dust, the missing objects, flying knives, attacks on Diane. As we discussed, members of the household and later the neighbors reported seeing the figure, tall, dark, wearing a long black robe, a cowl hung low over its face, obscuring its features. This was later known as the monk, but for many years they just thought of it as a ghost, Fred, Mr. Nobody. Jean encountered it one afternoon while she was standing at her kitchen sink peeling potatoes. She turned around, and there it was, inches from her face, close enough to touch. She later said she didn't feel fear at first, just shock. And then it vanished. Next door, their neighbor, Mrs. Mountain, reported seeing a similar figure in her own kitchen. A solid, hooded entity. Unmistakably real. Lights flashed at odd hours. These paranormal disturbances spilled beyond the walls of 30 East Drive into neighbors' houses. And it wasn't just this neighbor either. Others on the street would talk about the house in early mornings. People said they would pause on their way to work and watch the house. And they would see things. Lights flashing, shadows passing by windows. Loud banging sounds were often heard by witnesses on the street. The Pritchards were desperate and repeatedly turned to the church for help. Exorcisms were performed, and each time, the activity escalated. Green foam poured from taps and toilets in the house. Heavy furniture continued to lift in the air. Jean claimed one night she woke up to find the monk hovering over her bed, staring down at her in silence. The haunting continued and reached its peak between 1968 and 1969. Late one evening, all the lights in the house went out at once. Diane screamed, and after that night, Diane had enough. She eventually left the home, and after she did, the activity began to fade. Without her around, they didn't see Mr. Nobody or Fred very much anymore. The story began to disappear from headlines and newspaper articles. Maybe it was all over. Maybe not. Not entirely. Today, visitors at 30 East Drive report strange activity, odd noises, sudden drops in temperature, shadow figures moving through the house. The black monk never truly left. And we have a photo that may prove it. If you want to sleep tonight, don't look at this ghost photo. In June 2016, paranormal investigators Pete Bolton and Rob Hughes of the Ghost Inspectors Paranormal Group entered 30 East Drive to document whatever might still remain. They took photographs and later at home reviewed the footage and saw something shocking. In one image, captured actually accidentally, something appeared. A hooded face, a dark shape, peering from a mirror. Bolton's picture of the hallway shows a mirror with what appears to be a face staring out of it, with either black hair around it or a black hooded robe, though he claims there was no one near him at the time. And it gets even creepier. This apparition appeared in the same spot that the Black Monk, or Mr. Nobody, was said to regularly stand and was where 14-year-old Diane was dragged by an invisible hand. Skeptics argue maybe it's just weird lighting, maybe you just want it to be a ghost. But believers point out something chilling. Mirrors have always played a role in folklore, as thresholds, doors. And this wasn't an old photograph. It was taken in 2016, decades after the haunting, the violence. Which leaves us with one final thought. The Black Monk, his ghost, is likely still there. Visitors and paranormal teams who have visited the house and stayed the night report some pretty creepy activity. Footsteps, figures seen on cameras. One report from a recent visitor described hearing loud footsteps, light shaking, and even seeing an indistinct figure watching them while they slept. This house still stands, so what about the current owner? Have they experienced anything? Originally a skeptic, the current owner who purchased the property in the 2010s says he has personally experienced objects being thrown and other unsettling events inside the house, which he attributes to the residual haunting. So multiple residents have experienced unexplained activity at 30 East Drive. But I gotta know, what are your thoughts? What do you believe is haunting this house? Or do you believe it's haunted at all? Let me know in the comments. Was the Black Monk a product of fear, suggestion, maybe stress? Or was something violent stirring beneath that house long before the Pritchards ever arrived? As you know, I always love to hear your take, your thoughts and theories on these cases and stories. You put your little detective hat on and bring up things and aspects of these stories that I hadn't even thought of, and I love that.